Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Start it all off.
Hey everybody, it's Mitch Halleck, still alive with walking pneumonia here. Are we in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. We're doing a live show right here at the Fitchburg State University Hockey Arena, I think it is. And we're here at Plastic City 2, the sequel to last year's summer special. And I'm here live with John Cimino. Right, John?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Have to say, second show, how's it going, Mitch? How's the show looking?
Oh, it's fantastic. I tell you, we pulled up here, the crowd, the parking lot. We had to drive around and find a spot. It was just insane. We showed up here. I go, look at the size of this thing. This is like, what, three or four times bigger than last year?
Three or four times bigger, absolutely. And you know, I'm so proud of my buddy Keith that his second show worked hard to make this, and it's been a success. Both shows, home run.
And you can't beat the price. A mere $2 and free parking, right?
Absolutely. That's why we're doing so good. The vendors. This is an old school Comic-Con feel with the big school.
Yeah. Cosplayers. We got some Batmobiles. I brought my TARDIS here. We got Jerry Ordway, Craig Russo, Joe Caramagna.
Tony Atlas.
We got some celebrities. We got some comic book writers and artists. A lot of comic book creators here. A lot of independent people.
This is the format that has been missing today. If you guys out there have been reading all those...
The Death of the Con.
Yeah, the Death of the Con stuff. It's because that formula does not work. And eventually, it's going to go extinct.
Well, it's not sustainable forever. I mean, you can't keep shelling money out like a maniac for all these big movie actors. Because the little guy who buys the table and the guy that comes to the show that wants to buy comic, they can't afford $100 photo ops, right?
Absolutely. And don't forget they're paying for parking. This is I always say this to everybody I meet. Comic books is a middle-class business. It's a middle-class family business where you got people, they work hard. They don't have that type of money to spend. So when they're dropping like $300 or $200 just to get into the place, there's something wrong there. And then everybody loses after that. And then you got what, celebrities having their press packets for like $200-$300. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. All I'm going to say is walking around, I actually bought some stuff, some Legos here, some artwork, some comic books. And how are you doing sales-wise?
Well, I'm doing... You see my smile. It hasn't been stopping yet, Mitch. But see, this is, once again, having free parking here and a $2 admission. People are coming in with money in their pocket, and everybody's making money. I've already went around to the vendors asking how they're doing. They're saying, unbelievable, we want to come next year.
So I'm thinking what Keith is going to do next year is go for multiple days. This is only a one-day show. I'm thinking next year, 2 days. What do you think, Johnny?
We'll have to talk to Keith about that. Remember, Keith's mentality is just to make a good show. He's going to make a little bit of money on this, but not like what a lot of other people are doing. Jim Talbot just sent us something, and he said, Super Mega Fest is done. And you want to know something? I agree.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless you're looking for some type of retro con where you want to go meet the cast of Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, that's the show for you. We say this in jest because we're sitting right next to Kenny Lawrence, one of the co-creators of Super Mega Fest that happens twice a year up in Massachusetts. And right next to him is the former owner of Boston Comic Con, Jimmy Talbot, or Boston Jimmy as we like to call him. Right here, if the bomb went off, half of New England's Comic Cons, or almost all of them, will be out of business.
Absolutely. And you want to just know something. If people don't know this, but if you look around this venue, the best comic book stores in Massachusetts are here.
That's Entertainment's here. Red Rock's here. Harrison's Comics is here.
Kamikaze is here.
Yeah, I did notice that walking around. I know all the dealers because I go to their stores throughout the year putting out my flyers, and I know them all by first name.
Thanks, brother.
That's the thing a lot of folks don't do, and I applaud Keith for that, too. Keith's old school. He goes by He knows it's like running for office. He goes to all these shows like I do. We shake hands. We kiss babies. We meet people. That's what it is. You got to press the flesh. You can't just put up a show and expect people to fall down at their feet and go, oh, thank you so much for doing the show. You got to go out there and sell it. And Keith is going out there every weekend promoting it. I see my local access TV shows. He's on podcasts. He's everywhere, correct?
Absolutely. And Mitch, I think the difference is with a lot of promoters, the difference with between you and Keith is you guys have been in the trenches for years. You guys were going to cons. You guys back in the 80s and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, so
first one, 78.
Yeah, but so you know how it works. And that's what, hey, I got to say, me and Keith started this back in like 2005, yeah. Going to show, oh, and just like learning the business and understanding what makes it work. This new formula does not work. This is the formula that works.
Well, that's a good topic for today's show on the Power Cosmic Podcast. If you had to, John Cimino, because I'm not going to talk about this because I am too close to the subject, but if John Cimino was the producer of a Comic-Con tomorrow, where would it be? What time of year would it be? And who would the guest be at your show? And this is a dream show. You could pick anybody you want. Who would it be, Johnny? Who's your first guest?
Well, Mitch, I'm going to have, not to toot your horn, but I love the formula that you have where it's more creator-oriented. And what's good about that is those creators are coming to you now and wanting to be on your show because they know the reputation has preceded you. Hell, I had somebody talk to me from Oregon. They were in Oregon and they were talking about Plastic City because they mentioned it to me. But why? There's got to be a reason why. Because, once again, I would do a show like yours and Keith, but if I were going to do a big show, it would be like yours, Mitch. You're not trying to take over the world. You're trying to make a big, nice con the way it should be for the fans. Legit for the fans, where you keep the prices as low as you can do it. Yep. You keep the rates. Everything is low, but all the vendors are happy. All the creators love to come to you, and that's just a formula that's going to work. And that's the reason why you do well. So, Mitch, you ask me who I would bring. I would be doing like yours. I would want those old-school creators, a lot of those new-school creators, and you have just a sprinkling of celebrities. It's not on who's hot right now, but it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone. It's not these huge people that they're going to be waiting in line, waiting and paying $500, whatever it may be. I don't like that formula because, like we said, that formula is not going to sustain itself. A lot of those are going to go away, and we're seeing it now.
I understand that, but I'm asking you, I still want to know, who would you have at the show? Give me an artist.
Okay, Roy Thomas.
That's a writer,
well,
artist.
He's an artiste.
Artist.
Okay, like if I were to get an artist, let me think for a second. Like if I would to tell you honestly, if I could, I'd take Alex Ross.
All right, Alex Ross.
He would be my big.
All right,
that big guy.
All right, and the writer, you already said Roy Thomas.
Of course.
What actor? I know you're not a big fan of the actors, but who would you get?
I would keep it more like
Lou Frigg.
No, not Lou. I would keep it if I had to get like one big artist or something. I would get. You know, what's hot right now? I think Gal Gadot would be great.
All right, Wonder Woman, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I would do like, but I would just have her and then have some smaller guys around that. Like Daredevil, Iron Fist, those guys, Luke Cage. Not people that are going to break the band, but one huge guy. And I would always throw in a couple of wrestlers in there, because they have the appeal. And that, and like that. And then I would have more of the older creators.
Yeah, what about vendor-wise? Would you have all comic books, all toys? Would you have independent creators? Would you have people selling tchotchke stuff or T-shirts? What do you think? What would be the majority of the tables be?
Well, listen, being in this business for a long time, we have a lot of family. And what I mean by that, a lot of close friends. And that's why I love this show, Plastic City, because it's like a fraternity. It's you, it's Matt Herring, it's Kenny, it's you got comic book guys, people that selling, you know, podcast art. But they're all our friends, and that's why I like this show, and that's what I would do. First and foremost, I would bring all my friends in. And Chris Giarrusso, I would get him a plane ticket because I love him to death. But that's what I would do. I would get first and foremost my friends because I want it to have fun here. And then we could sprinkle it out to all the other vendors. But more or less, it would be the friends. That would be my focus. And all our friends do the good stuff.
Now, if you had to do it, would you do panels? And what type of panels would you do? How to write comic books? Would you talk to the creators of classic books like Roy Thomas? Would you want the fans to interact with them? I mean, this is what I'm saying. This is what goes behind the scenes. I know all the answers to these because I do it on a daily basis. But I'm asking you, what kind of panel would you have?
Well, okay, let me just go back to your formula. Why I like Terrificon is that you're not just on a conveyor belt and you give a signature and then you move on to the next. You don't even get to interact. The thing about Terrificon, you get to interact, and I definitely would want that to be a part of it. So some people could take a picture with the artist or something and do that. But panels I would have, yeah, a lot of interacting stuff. I could see Art Balthazar and Chris Giarrusso doing a kid one where you can have all kids doing like all that art. And then you would also have like a lot of, I like Q&As where people can learn something. You know, people like they can like, obviously with Roy Thomas, learn the history and all that stuff. And you have the jokes around there with the comic book men guys. Mitch, I hate to toot your horn again, but like I like your formula that way where it's a little more interactive. Not you're just somebody out of 100,000 people and you're way in the back maybe you get a glimpse. I don't like that.
Now, you've been to New York Comic Con, John, but I know as a personal thing, you don't go to New York Comic Con. I've been to every single one of them every year, and I keep going, but why don't you go to the big city?
What's there? You're just going to be bumping into people. Sure, I'll go with Roy. I know I might be going next year with Roy. They've already asked me, and that's something I can think about, but just to go there, it's too corporate now. It's like San Diego. Corporate.
I'm listening.
I know. I'm just saying, like, and I don't like that. I don't like the corporate stuff. It's just like, I want it to be more interactive, like the old Howard Johnsons. You and Keith do a perfect way of doing it. You're a bigger version of Keith than Keith, but it reminds me of the old school times where everybody's having fun, spending money, and having a good time. Being at those big cons, it's too pretentious.
Have you been to San Diego Comic Con?
Yes, I've been there a few times. Too pretentious to me. And plus, San Diego today, it's more of the media stuff than it is anything else. Now, I understand that's where the money is and with those celebrities, but I'll tell you something. I want a Comic-Con. I'm a Comic-Con. Old school.
As John goes and does some business here, he's selling comic books as we speak. John, one of the new shows on the market up here is going to be called HasCon, and that's being produced by the people at Hasbro Toys. They're doing their own convention. What do you think about HasCon? What is that going
to
be?
They're getting in on the action, and I'll tell you something. They got the money to back it up, but I wonder how long that's actually going to last, because they're going to have the same formula, which they're doing. They're bringing Stan Lee again. Yeah, whatever. They're going to bring those big guys, and they're going to spend a lot of money, but they're going to realize after a number of years, I think it's going to be more money to lose than not, because they're on that formula kick. $1.
Well, the odd thing I think about the HasCon thing is, what exactly are they going to sell there? Just Hasbro toys?
Can they sell other toys?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you don't go to Yankee Stadium and sell Red Sox t-shirts. You know what I'm saying?
I know. So
you're not going to be selling Mattel toys or old Mego toys at HasCon. I don't know what is that going to be?
And how many vendors are going to be there? Like, it's all going to be, is it going to be all different eclectic?
I think it's a lot of celebrity base. I think you're right. I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Stan Lee, James Gunn. They got a couple other big people. I can't figure out what. Why are they doing this, though?
It's that formula. It's just like they're seeing everybody else making money, so they want to try that. There's not enough. I just can't see that going for long. I think it's more going to be they're going to be more disappointed than not. One and done, but they got the money. I'm not going to give them that. I mean, it's Hasbro, for God's sakes. But I don't think they're going to be making the profits they think they're going to make, because they're going to be losing the middle people, the middle class people that go to the show. They want to spend. They want to have a good time. They don't want to just go there and get a signature and then that's it and pay like hundreds of dollars. That formula isn't working.
Now, John, have you ever dressed up at a show? Have you ever gotten into cosplay?
What, say it again, sorry?
Cosplay. Have you ever dressed up?
Have I ever dressed? Mitch, just like you, we wear characters unto ourselves.
True. I cosplay as Mitch Halleck every day. You got a customer over there. Yes, if you see me at the shows, I'll always be in a Terrificon shirt. Now I wear Hawaiian and bowling shirts to cover up the fat. Today I'm wearing an Elvis Presley shirt that was given to me by my friend Jerry Ordway as a birthday present. For the most part, John is always in a winter cap. Usually it's the Green Lantern cap. But today he's got a Captain America cap on. He's always got his shorts on. Not a members-only jacket, but he tends to wear the same thing. So John is right. We do go out there with a uniform, and we're at these shows, so we're hard to miss. And plus the fact that I do look like an alternate version of Jay Leno. I was just telling how we wear our typical costumes. You're always in the winter hat. Usually it's a Green Lantern one.
It's our affectation. It's like when people see us, they know what to expect. Like, oh, there's that kid with the hat, the wild guy, and he's got the bow in his
hand. There's the chubby guy with the terrific gun.
Yeah. But they know. We'll see, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's Mitch, or that's John. Now, I'm not saying everybody likes us or me, but they know who we are. It's like Donald Trump's hair, man.
Yeah. Wow, I've never been equated to Donald Trump's hair, but I guess that's a certain thing there. It's true.
It is. That's what it is. It's like.
What was the worst experience you ever had at a Comic-Con? Was there a celebrity you met once or an artist that was just a total jackass to you?
It's not that it happened to me, but actually seeing it interact. Like, Mitch, it actually happened to you. Remember, who was that girl in Boston last year you went to get an autograph? Or 2 years ago?
Oh, the Dr. Who girl?
Yeah, and she said, oh, you got to pay this much extra.
Oh, yeah,
and they didn't even have the sign.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I had to pay. Awkward. Yeah, and you were like, I have to. But they kind of, that is a bit, no.
Not, I remember, it was, the actress's name was, she was on Doctor Who, and I was getting the autograph for a friend of mine. It wasn't even for me. And the sign said, autograph, $55. So we got in line, I took the money out, I got the autograph, and then the girl goes, that's 60. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, well, you bought the photo for $5. I go, sign says 55, doesn't say 60. She goes, well, you got to give me the extra $5. I go, I just gave you $55 for a scribble on a piece of paper as it is. What a ripoff. And it was just, it ruined the whole experience because it was no longer a fan experience. It was more of a, it was more of an exchange going on, like almost at a liquor store or something, you know?
Yeah, but
there was no fun at all. It just took it out, you know?
Yeah, that, see.
It was cold, hard business.
Right, but that is something, like I said, it didn't happen to me, but it happened to you, and I've seen that time and time again where you see people, like, they didn't get their pictures because it's so disorganized. And
I was at a show once where the guy, a certain actor, I'm not going to say his name, was blowing his nose when they took the picture that these two girls waited in line
for like an hour,
and they spent like $200 on the photo, and when they got it, I go, oh, my God, that's so rude. The guy was literally had a tissue in his face, and that was the memory they're going to have with the guy. That, to me, was appalling. I mean, he had no respect for the young fans. It just was like, just give me your money. It was disgusting.
And let's be honest, a lot of those actors, they don't have any respect because they don't care. They're here to make a dollar and stuff. I'll tell you this, Mitch. Another thing, when you were going back to, like, starting my own con, I would tell the actors or their management or whatever, I'd be like, you know what? And some, you know, that they do it, they play the role, but I would tell them, make sure they play the role and they give the fans that experience.
Yeah. So they have something to remember, not like, now, oh, I can tell you, I've been to some wrestling shows where it's like, money, 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 next, next, next.
Well, we know the wrestlers because obviously our good friend Roger has been with, have been doing the wrestlers forever, and the wrestlers are some of the worst people because they don't care. They just want the money, and they're so greedy. And, you know, okay, I understand it's a business to make money, but interact with the fans and give them a show. That would be definite. I'd be a pep talk. Gal Gadot, give them a show.
Yeah, and I think it just reflects on her, too. She might not care what people think of her or just, you know, but it does reflect on it. Because years down the road, they're not going to be the number one matinee idol. They're not going to be the big movie star. What goes up comes down. Whatever you see, you know what I'm saying? That old, what goes around comes around. You're a jerk to somebody now, 20 years from now, they might be sitting at a con autographing for a buck because they can't get any work.
Yeah. Yeah. And we see that, and then, like I said, once again, having a fun time at a con is my best thing.
What's the best experience? Because you work with Roy Thomas a lot. See the fans come up. What is the best experience you've ever witnessed yourself or a fan's reaction to Roy or another artist?
It's definitely that because I'm a fanboy. And Mitch, you being a fanboy too, I'm working. Hey, Roy being good friends with Roy and loving it. I mean, I still look at him sometimes and when I'm talking or whatever and I'm like, I can't believe that's him. So I look at it from the other side of the table. When you see these people, they talk to Roy, and Roy's awesome with people. But, like, just seeing the glimmer in their eye and having the things that for him to sign and just seeing the happiness there, like, it just makes it feel awesome. Those are the best experiences because I remembered that.
Oh, yeah.
I remembered that.
As a promoter, I usually get emails after the shows, and people will tell me I had a great experience with John Wesley Shipp, who is the Flash, who's been at my show, like, at least three times. Great guy. goes out of his way, remembers everybody's names, shakes their hands, give them a couple minutes of time so they'll go back, and they'll always remember that. Because, you know, I always got to tell you that. It might be the 20,000th autograph you've given out, or the 400th handshake you've done, or 20 billion photo ops. But to that one individual, that's the only one that they're going to have. So they want to walk away with something they're going to cherish, talk about, tell their friends about. So it does mean a lot to people. And for an actor to get up and shake their hand and say something nice to them for 2 seconds, that does mean a lot. And the good ones, people love them. They come back, they write letters like, it was so great to meet so-and-so. So it does mean a lot to people. It really does. I'm just saying, so if any actors out there are listening, you'd be surprised just with an eye contact and handshake. And there's been the other side of the spectrum, too. I've had some actors as guests that don't look up for their iPhone or they're looking down at their iPad. You know, I was just saying how I had some actors that look on their iPhone all day or look down at their iPad, even artists and writers, too. And that's not what you want. You want people to engage people. You don't want to be looking at the floor because nobody wants to interrupt them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's what makes it an experience. Like you said, it could be the 50th handshake, 500th.
Yeah.
Give that person that feeling, that thing that they can at least go back. Because you never know how well that's going to inspire somebody to get
absolutely.
Into the business.
It might inspire them to become an actor, a writer, an artist. If they just had a terrible experience with you, they'll say, screw this, the guy was a jerk.
Case in point, it happened to me with Lou Ferrigno. My first time I ever met him, I was starstruck, and he treated me so bad. I never looked at the show again, and I never, ever, ever gave him anything.
Really? And you love the Hulk. I mean, you are dyed deep into Hulk mythos.
That was a quick reality check for me. So when I met Lou Ferrigno the first time, and he said he wouldn't talk to me unless I bought something, and I almost started doing it, and my friend goes, what are you doing? He goes, that guy's an asshole. I go, but it's Lou Ferrigno. And he goes, don't do that to him. And the kid in me got crushed, Mish. And so it did happen to me.
Now, I've had an experience where I met Harrison Ford. It wasn't bad. It wasn't something that he wasn't mean to me or anything like that. But you wait your whole life. You see these people. When you get your 15 minutes with them, you think something great's going to happen. And it's 9 times out of 10, almost like a cringe-worthy experience that you sit there and you think about it.
We're yelling at Jim Talbot over there.
He's eating his noodles.
Yeah, his noodles.
What is that? Ramen noodles with all his money?
It's instant. The instant. Hey, Jimmy, did you have instant noodles because you don't like to spend? Was it instant noodles?
It was ramen noodles.
Yeah. Jimmy's laughing all the way to the bank. It's amazing. It's amazing here. Well, we're going to walk around Plastic City Comic Con a little bit farther. Now that it's not in Leominster, is that how it was? Wasn't that Plastic City? So technically we're not in 36. Plastic City. Does that count anymore?
PayPal,
all right. John is busy selling some Fantastic Four comic books here. Got some good ones there. Issue 64 with the Century. All right. There we go. Johnny just made a sale. Now John. Come on, Jen. Now John's going to eat tonight.
Yeah. Right. And Mitchie still owes me $15 for that.
Oh, stop. 15, it was 10, wasn't it?
No, 15.
You didn't help me when I put the TARDIS together.
Yeah, but look.
Is that plastic? It's supposed to be metal on top, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. I hope somebody didn't make that in their basement. I actually own a rack now. Yeah. So now I have my own spinner rack.
And they go, I had 3 offers for it, and I guess they go for up to $250 to $300.
Really?
Yeah, $250 to $300 online. And I said to her, and I was going to get more money than I offered Mitch. And I said, no, I brought it for Mitch. I can't have
now,
it.
Now, our good friend Scott Martin, it couldn't be an episode without saying him, he doesn't have the rack. He has the wall. Have you ever seen that, where they do the books that in
but
his house?
I always love that one because I love Richie Rich. I love Superman. I love the picture of Spider-Man
Archie. Too.
But it's a great cluster of characters.
And it's approved by the Comics Code Authority.
Yeah. So I always like that. And Mitch, that base is heavy as F-U-C.
Oh, is it really?
Heavy. So good luck.
I thought the other one, it says, Hey Kids Comics, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't have a picture of characters on it.
No. So I have my own rack now.
And it's fun. Yeah, you get to put...
John is busy playing with my rack. Yeah. My wife will love that. And when you see me on the street one day and you drive by, you'll know that's me with my racks. Yeah, I don't believe that's the original thing, though. Whatever. I'm going to take it. I want one.
Still looks good to me. Still looks good.
Of course it does.
Yeah, and Mitch, let's be honest. We love this stuff.
What is Kenny selling today? Is that a Evel Knievel super jet cycle stunt?
Kenny had some good things. I bought a lot off Kenny.
You bought
today.
That off of Kenny? What's that Spider-Man one? Is that Color Forms? I remember that.
No, this thing. Oh yeah, but he has it with.
That's the city. That's the thing I had.
But he has it in all my years. And Kenny,
I had
years,
that one.
How many years have you not, have? Has this always been missing?
In
all my years of doing this, only twice I've ever
seen. Is that the Mark's Toy Spider-Man playset?
Yeah, but this came after the AMSCO Marvel World and the before.
No, I had this one. I didn't have the other one.
Oh, you had that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's cool.
1973.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This
man.
Is complete, huh?
Complete, unopened.
And there was also a DC one. Yeah. Right?
And then they made a Play School one. And look at this I got from Kenny, too.
This is fantastic.
This is the Cling to the Wall one, but like still.
Oh, I had that.
Yeah, I didn't.
You make the model and you there's like the sticky stuff.
Yeah.
And you can make Spider-Man cling to the wall.
Yeah, that's something.
Snap together. What year is that thing? 1978.
Yeah. And he had this one too, but I like Spider-Man better, so.
Yeah.
How much for the Evel Knievel? $100.
$800.
$100 and you'll like it, Kenny. Kenny, Super Mega Fest. He should be partnering up with Keith because bigger and better thing. How much?
$800.
And how much this?
He's wrecking his shop here. Watching John wheel and deal.
And no Frank Cass. For some reason, Frank Cass is banned from here.
Yeah, where's Frank Cass? That's all I want to know. All right, we're going to wrap it up. We'll come back with another episode. John's got to go sell. I got to go back to my booth and sell some tickets. 3 weeks from today, where will we be, John?
Terrific Con, baby. Terrific Con.
That's right. And how do we end every episode, Johnny?
And that's that.
I'll tell you
why this is so awesome.
Hold on. This is Mitch live at, where are we? Fitchburg State University for the end of Plastic City Comic Con 2. Technically, we're not in Plastic City. That's Leominster. We're in a new town, but I guess that's another story. But real quick, we're saying goodbye all the way from Marvel Comics. You know him, you love him. The man with a cup of Joe and donuts. Joe, this is not really me for legal purposes. Caramania. Say hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
All right, now you can be sued. I will contact the Disney lawyers tomorrow. You're done. Yes, forget it. I hope your kids like eating box lunches from the state welfare department. This guy there. There's Matt Herring, who said the Power Cosmic would not last more than 20 episodes. We're on 55. What do you got to say about that?
Well, we have hit 800, so you guys got a lot of catching up to do with the Secret Identity podcast. But I could not imagine the two of you guys getting along and even having enough. I mean, thank God we're in analog now, or digital. And it isn't analog where you're recording tape, because there's not enough tape in the world to cover you two.
No. And we do it over the phone, too. We don't actually physically get in a room, because there'd be blows being back and forth, right?
We do sometimes, but it's funny, though. Like, it's true, though. If we didn't have...
off on the phone.
If we didn't have that, I mean, it works for some reason.
Thank God we don't have roaming rates anymore or long-distance bills, because
technology.
You guys would be in trouble.
Yeah, that's it. And then, Jerry Ardway, how was your first day and last day here at Plastic City?
It was fantastic.
It wasn't terrific, though.
But we'll see how it's going to be terrific.
In 3 weeks.
It'll be terrific in a couple weeks.
That's right. It will be. And that's it. We're doing the shortest episode. I'm going to put this out 3 minutes long. Here you go, people. Listen to this.
We had a good time, though. Come to Plastic City next year, right? And keep.
Yeah, we don't know when it's going to be. He said he don't know either.
Yeah, but it'll come. It always comes back.
All right. We'll tack this on to another episode. I'll call you this week. We'll do something.
Right. And I don't know if Mitch can.
My throat is gone.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It shows that you're more human, Mitch.
Oh, as part of my big Odin sounding voice every week?
Yeah. I mean, I can go. I never get that. And you, maybe you have reached the
limit. I've had pneumonia, man.
All right. That's what Zoe says. So
okay. Goodbye. And so wraps up another episode. I'm doing Matt's line. And so wraps up another episode of the Secret Identity Podcast. As always.
We'll pick up the slack now, Matt.
After 800 episodes, is the Secret Identity done? Is Power Cosmic the only salvation for people that want to talk about comic books? Will Jason May ever smile?
I know. I don't know what's up with Jason May. I haven't seen him.
He's been cranky all day.
He's got the greatest head of hair.
I know. I said that to him.
In the whole place.
Look at that hair. Look at it. It's like flowing locks.
You look.
Oh, Jason May and his attitude are leaving the building. All right. There's go. Let's get out of here. Joe St. Pierre. They're all here. The richest man in the building over there. Jimmy Talbot ran up to me and said, hey, where's that $30 you owe me? I was like, you got to be shitting me.
What, you owe him 30 bucks?
I owe him $30. He goes, hey, you owe me $30. I'm like, oh, my God.
From what, though?
I bought a couple of shitty comic books from him a couple weeks ago.
He'll never forget.
I know.
Despite the millions in the bank account, he will never. You thought you could die.
I got to shut it off.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.